the more I've started to share my real life recently in the last few months on Instagram and on our podcast, we've had, you know, I've got a viral reel over 2 million, just an amount of expansion that I wasn't having before at all. We're stuck in like 500 to 2000 views for a really long time. And each post I am sharing literally just honestly about my life. And that has directly brought me one-on-one clients, clients in our 7-day certification training, opportunities to speak on stages, opportunities to speak on podcasts. It's all leading to, I mean, this applies to every area of life. So even without a business, using your voice is very important. Although once you have something, if you have something, a one-on-one program and anything, something with a button to take money, then I'd say voice and your beliefs are the most important thing to do next.
Welcome to Captivate the Room with your host, internationally known voice expert, Tracy Goodwin, an award-winning speaker who has taught hundreds around the globe to make a big impact with their voice. This podcast is for anyone who wants to step onto a bigger stage, make a bigger impact, and have a voice that makes people listen. Presentation matters. And the voice is the missing link. Join in and you'll see why.
Welcome to the podcast. So happy to have you with me today, as always. And I have another great episode for you today. I have another former student with me. Megan Blacksmith is here. And boy, I'm telling you, especially people who are listening that are my peacekeeper, people pleaser types, you will be blown away by her story. She has done some of the most amazing work on her voice and on the whole concept. She's turned the concept of the people pleaser mask on its heels. And I'm telling you, she's an inspiration. She really gets this work. She does amazing work. We talk in this episode about all the things like our blind spots and why we believe that we can do things on our own, as well as so many other things. This is really a case study episode in what's possible. And I know you're going to love every minute of it. I just adore her. And I know you're going to not only adore her, but really love learning about the process, what she has been able to accomplish. It's just a great episode. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Megan Blacksmith is a holistic health coach, functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner, speaker, NLP trainer, and mindset ninja. And that she is. I can confirm that. She's the co-founder of Zesty and the Becoming Zesty podcast. She trains coaches, practitioners, and leaders with the tools for faster inner transformation without fighting themselves along the way through functional NLP, a combination of the principles of NLP, functional medicine, and compassionate coaching. You won't get to be in the room with her, but she's the kind of person that when you walk into a room, you are absolutely just drawn to her. Let's head over to the show. Megan, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here today.
Thank you for having me, Tracy. It is an honor.
Well, I'm telling you what, listeners, I know that I touched on this in the intro, but I just have to touch on it again. I am so excited about this conversation, and I'm excited about it because of what has transpired in this work for Megan, but I'm also extremely excited about you hearing firsthand what this experience is, because I've been talking to you about it forever. And I tell you about the things and I tell you about what I do. But Megan, like I mentioned in the intro, has absolutely had this extraordinary story unfold in front of my very eyes over the last 3 months. And I'm thrilled that she's so willing to get on this the show and talk to you about it. So, Megan, I always start with, tell us who you are and what you do.
Absolutely. So my name is Megan Blacksmith, and I just recently, Tracy, learned that there are three levels of the dark night of the soul. Did you know that?
No, I think I've probably experienced them, but so that's why I'm very interested to learn about them. But no, I didn't know that. It was all just one level to me.
I thought that too. So yeah. This has just made it so clear what my path has been when I learned about this, because the very first level, and they call it the level one void, is usually physical. So the body, the health crashes, you know, some people get sick, something happens where you're being given signs that maybe something isn't right on the path that you're on, right? It's like your body is screaming out like, don't go that way, Megan. So that was the level one. And that is where I started into the work I'm in now, was from a health crash. So had a baby. And then what I like to say is I fell off the postpartum health cliff. My hormones crashed, extreme postpartum anxiety. It was so bad, Tracy, to the point that I contemplated breaking my arm. I was like, what could I do to get a leave of absence and not go into work that wouldn't be that painful, but then I wouldn't have to be here? Luckily, I didn't do that, because that would have been horrible and not really gotten me out of work, as I realized later. So not a great idea. So level one void and level one dark night of the soul was all about the physical, and that's usually shorter. And then you get into level two, which is relational. And that will usually last a little bit longer. This is more about learning forgiveness. And that was the next void that I went into. And as I was listening to a woman on a podcast sharing these different levels, I was like, oh, this has been my exact path. And this is what each path has led me to, a new understanding, which has led me to basically a new training or a new way of working. And then I integrate that into what I do. So that was when I found NLP, which is now what we train people in. Because I had the next dark night of the soul where my husband and I just had a really, really rough time. And then the bad news is level three is the worst and the longest, and that's where I am now. So this is the mental, emotional, spiritual. And what happens in this one is this is the one where we finally realize, or I finally realized this. It's kind of like the, I did this to myself. Like you're in the, I am the problem, I'm also the solution. It's like, you're really the only one. You don't get to blame anybody anymore. And you're starting to see the patterns. And this is the last place that I ended up when, ironically, I really started to use my voice and understand honesty. So each time I'd go through one of these down parts of my life, I find new tools, I find a new process, and then we'd integrate it into what we do. So I feel like this has been how I work, and what I do is I have a problem personally that really sucks. And I say, how am I going to get out of this? And then after I get out of this, I like realize, oh, that could have been way faster. Mm. Bring those tools together and then teach someone else. So I have a business partner. Our company is called Zesty. And together we train people in NLP and hypnosis so that they can find their subconscious beliefs that are holding them back, which is why I'm so excited and fascinated by your work. It's like bringing those two worlds together.
I have to say, I have to step outside of the interviewer chair for just a moment and say, I love that as an introduction. It's so captivating and so interesting compared to the checklist that we believe that we have to do, or we've always been led to believe. I've got to list my credentials and I've got to phone it all in. But that was wonderful and interesting. And I definitely know what level I'm in. So it was also educational. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. So let me ask you this. I want to ask you a question, and then I want to dive into this story, this extraordinary story of this journey I've been able to be a part of with you. When you joined me 12 weeks ago, or 14 weeks ago, however long it was, what were you joining? Why did you want to join, and what did you think you were joining?
Well, I knew it was different than classic voice coaching, and I knew that. So in the work that I do, we dig into a lot of limiting beliefs and trying to find, okay, like what's stopping me from the next level of success? And I knew that my business partner and I were really ready to expand to another level. And when I look at, let's say, our funnels and our business and our Instagram and like the structure, we've got stuff in place. So I knew the only thing really stopping us from growth to the next level was something, essentially something inside of me. Like I am not quite expanded to that person who can handle 100 people in a training room. I even knew it had to do with voice, not so much, I didn't quite know what I was going to learn from you, but I did know that speaking up from that level of voice, like the idea of actually really owning who I am and speaking up is necessary 100% in the kind of training we're doing. And I knew I was comfortable at a certain level, right? We had smaller trainings and that I could handle. But the idea of this huge room, there was some block there. So I loved the idea of finding more from my voice because I've done subconscious reprogramming around beliefs. And I knew that there was something else there. Like I knew there was another layer. So the voice piece, because, you know, I'm in the kind of the functional medicine space before we got into NLP, and I'm a true believer of like somatic work and that we hold stuff in the body. I knew I was holding stuff in there, Tracy. I didn't quite know what, but I knew I was holding stuff there. So when you spoke at James Wedmore's event, I heard so much of a combination of what we do and what we love about really digging into the next level of expansion by finding what's stopping you. And I also heard this thing that I was not addressing of those beliefs could still be coming out in my actual voice, even if I'd worked on them, even if I did all that therapy, even if I literally, that's my job, it's like to help people find beliefs, that they were still there, they were coming through, and people were hearing that. So the combo of, you know, trusting Mr. Wedmore, of course, being in his programs and knowing how much you helped him, and then also just being open to this world of what else is out there, it scared me a little bit. And I'm in a period of my life where I do things that scare me a little bit. So the idea of speaking in whatever way we were going to be using my voice made me a little nervous. And so I leaned in.
Yeah. Boy, did you. And I love what you just said there, because I think that's something maybe people think about or realize, or maybe they don't, that no matter how much work you've done, no matter how successful you are, there is another level in you. And no matter how much work you've done and how successful you are, if it hasn't been addressed in your voice, we're deciding from your voice. We don't, on the subconscious level, hear the years of coaches and NLP. We hear the words different than we hear the voice. So I want you to talk about this evolution of, there's been multiple pieces. I can't take credit for all of this transformation, nor would I, but there's been this cacophony of things that have crashed in together over the last 12 weeks. I want you to riff on it however you want to riff on it. But I have one quick question before you just take off and tell the story. Did you believe you were being real before all of this happened? Or did you somehow know that you weren't 100% authentic?
I really thought I was.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. I had had a conversation not long before starting to work with you with someone talking about vulnerability. Mm. And I was like, I don't know. I'm pretty vulnerable. I have a podcast that's called I Have Herpes. That feels like I share all sorts of stuff that's very uncomfortable. That was my belief. And he kind of called me out and said, yeah, but you're still picking the things that you're choosing to share that you're okay with, essentially, or you've somehow come to terms, or you're even using it as a way of like being, well, look at me. I'm so comfortable with myself. I'm going to share this. I'm like, yeah, that's true.
It's so good right there. There's a mask right there.
Yeah. It's like the curated vulnerability.
Yeah.
But the actual things, like the comments that I'd get on a post that would like hurt my soul, like that would send me into fight or flight, those I wasn't openly sharing about, because I'm thinking I'm a coach who helps people mm-hmm. with this stuff. Mm-hmm. I can't share that I still have this stuff. Then what's going to happen? They're not going to work with me. That was the story.
Yeah.
So starting to work with you, Tracy, it lined up, which of course makes total sense. It's magical and so obvious, but I had an amazing friend give me a book. When I saw the title, I knew I had to read it. She hadn't even read it. And I was like, can I just borrow it for the weekend? And it was called Radical Honesty. Big disclaimer with this book, because it like cracked open my world and everything shifted. If you look into it, anybody, it can, and for me, it changed everything, because I read it and all I was hearing was the peacekeeper mask, which you had talked to me about, the idea of honesty from a lens of not just being honest of not lying. Cause at that point I'm like, well, I didn't consider myself a liar. I mean, I attempt to say honest things most of the time. I'm sure sometimes I still consciously don't, but that's not really what I was doing. It was the withholding. It was saying just enough of the thing, right? Like telling somebody what they want to hear, but holding back on the 20% that maybe would disrupt them. And in this way of kind of being a chameleon, I was a really good chameleon. Like I knew exactly what to say to everyone. And I really thought that was great. I'm like, mm-hmm. I can get anyone to like me. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a superpower. And as I'm reading this book, I'm starting to realize and decide, oh, I'm maybe only honest about 20% of the time based on this new definition. And based on the idea that the more we're kind of brought up to realize there's like right or wrong, there's a good way to do it, there's a not so good way to do it. You know, you get the good grades, you get the kudos, which I was good in school. I was good at sports. So I kind of had this pattern of you do the things the way people want you to do the things and you get the love. Mm-hmm. And then if at some point you are veering off the path the way other people want you to do it, right, into this unconventional land, you have a choice. You can veer off the path and tell them, but then you lose the love. You can veer off the path and withhold it and lie, and then you keep up the facade, you keep the love, and you get to do what you want, right? So that is what the stronger there is this tie to like, there's a right way to do it, the more we and kids and I learn to, you know, just kind of cover it up, just do the things I wanted to do and then pretend to be the person everybody wanted to be. So, which turns into really comes into your two parts. You're in parts all the time. You're two different people and people don't really know who you are. And I was realizing now at 42, I'm realizing I'm not very honest. I don't know who I am. My partner doesn't know who I am. I was actually questioning everything. Can I be a good coach? I'm just like, what is going on? I help people find these beliefs. I hid them from myself. And after reading this book, my husband and I decide we're going to have this full-on honesty discussion. We're just going to share everything and anything we've never told each other. And I knew this is something I needed to do. And he did too. And we shared so much information that was really kind of broke the paradigm of the relationship we thought we had. It made me realize that this peacekeeping thing I'd been doing that I thought was nice, you know, I thought was not kind at all. It had hurt lots of people. He and I had a relationship that was based on a bunch of lies. I'm sure we have been teaching this to our kids. It was just, I started to quickly realize that this thing of like holding back peacekeeping was everywhere. And that book just kind of opened up that, it opened up that awareness. And at the same time, you were helping me with my voice. And the voice came out. I maybe swung a little hard. The pendulum swung hard, Tracy. I was like, no, I'm being way too honest, right? And my dad's like, okay, I was just calling to say happy birthday. But I guess you have 2 hours of things to tell me, Meg. And I was like, don't worry, I'll come back to the middle. But each of these really hard conversations has led me to so much awareness and actual connection with the person, right? Like I share at the James Wedmore event, I'm a total disaster right now. I barely made it here. I don't even know who I am. And then I got clients from that, Tracy, and mm-hmm. I got 10 podcast interviews and everyone's, oh my God, I'm in that. I've been hiding. And so many people connected and it helped me rewire that belief of you need to have your stuff together.
Yeah.
Trust you. Instead, they wanted to hear. I think what happened based on what I've learned from you is they were hearing my real voice mm-hmm. and my real sound, because that was very true for me at the moment of like, I feel like a total disaster. I'm in the big void. And they could hear that. It felt true to them. So that actually attracted things into my life, which it's just kind of rewiring how I think about everything.
Well, I think it's connection and authenticity, which is what people are seeking on a level we've never known before. And like you said, and it wasn't a set up question. I think I'm so grateful you answered it, because I think that this is where the problem starts, is people are believing that they're being authentic mm-hmm. and believing that nobody would ever hire them if they found out that you didn't have it all together. And so the authenticity is out the window. And that's actually the secret sauce of the whole thing mm-hmm. is if I don't hear my weakness in you, then I am not going to pick you, because surely I won't be good enough.
Right.
And this is heavy. This is exhausting. I think when people get here, I ask this question often. I say, that sounds exhausting. And they say, you have no idea. Holding up all of these masks, were you aware that you were holding up those masks, or not really to the degree until it all crashed in?
I knew I would call myself a recovering people pleaser. So I mm-hmm. knew there had been a lifetime of people pleasing. I just thought I was further along. I thought I had uncovered a lot of this, right? Because I'm learning tools of language and boundaries. And I had been practicing that. I think, again, what would happen, though, is I was doing the comfortable levels of them, right? I mm-hmm. hadn't dipped my toe into the pool where I was like, well, that person, if this doesn't go right, that person, it would really hurt, you know, if we were to not be able to repair this relationship. So those categories of people that were really important to me still were getting information held back.
Yeah.
My closest relationship, my family, my business partner, my partner is, I was still being, I mean, the joke is I was kind of the puppeteer of, I knew, well, hey, you know, if this brother's kind of upset, but I wouldn't tell him that. I would just tell him like, oh, you could send him a card just to be nice, right? I would like orchestrate a way for the people to come together without each person knowing I was the orchestrator, because I thought then they'd all be happy and I'd be good, essentially. If you could all be happy, I could be good with myself.
Which is really the back end motive of that people pleasing, peacekeeping is almost on the front end. It appears like a good thing.
Right.
But the behind the scenes story is this is a survival tool for me.
Right.
Because I cannot be comfortable if y'all are uncomfortable. And I think this is really important because I don't know, I haven't done the research to say that 8 out of 10 people on earth are people pleasers, but I can tell you I've done the research on my audience. 8 out of 10 of them are people pleasers, peacekeeper, people pleaser. I use the word interchangeably, but it was all for the sake of don't rock the boat.
Right.
And so there was probably a lot of no big deal. It's no big deal. No problem. And that adds up.
Right. And the checklist game became make sure there's more things on my side of the checklist that I've done. So that then if someone in my life gets upset with me, because eventually I'm going to mess up, I'm human, right? Then I can say, but no, I have this whole checklist. There's all these things I've done. You can't be mad at me. You can't reject me is really what it was. And keeping the checklist, as I found out, does the opposite and completely drives people away. It ruins the relationship because now we're in a transaction. Now we're in a checklist. And my husband and I learned that one. At one point, I realized I needed to go to the airport. And in my head, I think it was a really early flight. In my head, I didn't have enough things on my checklist that I've done for him to ask him.
Wow.
And when I finally verbalized these kind of things to him, he's like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Of course they'll bring you to the airport. And in my head, I was like, well, I got to go with my friend 2 days ago. He watched the kids. Like, I had the list of all the stuff I had gotten and done and hadn't sacrificed for, right? There was this, you have to do not just things, but painful things on the checklist, right? Like, you have to give stuff up. It has to be hard work. And I was just like, oh, wow. Yeah, that's quite the way to live in a relationship if you want to destroy it.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. And I think that, I mean, this is real depth here that we're talking about. And I think that's the thing that is so important about this work is that it is deep. Mm-hmm. It is not surface because surface will not stick. It is deep work. And I've marveled. Oh, I think this happens to all of my students really in varying degrees, but I've just marveled at you've just trusted the process. You've just trusted me. You have shown up and been committed. I feel like on the front end, I can't remember, but I feel like you said something to me about, I might not tip it. And I don't think this is right. So see if you can remember when I say this, something like, I would typically do this. I would typically know what I was going to do or something, but I'm going to trust your process. I don't know that I even like it, but or something to that effect. Do you remember that?
Yeah. So I went to an 18-day speaker trainer's training, and I would look ahead in the work, the manual, and I would try to figure out what we were going to do the next day.
Yeah.
And I was almost always right. So okay, I know we're doing signature talk, so I should work on that tonight. So I was doing the homework to be prepared so I wouldn't be caught off guard completely and thrown into my stuff and go into fight or flight or completely freeze and say nothing, worst possible fear in my mind. So I would look ahead, try to prepare. And of course, the things that I haven't prepared down to all the words are the ones where the best jokes have just come through me or the most connections happen. So I knew that that level of control, I would love to have dropped that. So I came into your container knowing, I said, I trusted you. I believe in the power of a container, meaning like, I know you have a structure and I know that there's a reason we're doing things the way we're doing them. And yes, maybe I'll be caught off guard. And if I am, I do also know that's probably for a reason. I get to see what happens when I panic. Or so I did trust that. Even I think I remember I cried on maybe the second or third call. I just did trust that this was a part of it and that it was going to get me to where I want to go. Because that is how our training works too. It's like a 7-day in-person. Yeah. But, you know, it's the same thing. There's a structure, has a beginning, has an end, and you're in it. And you know you're being supported through it. And you know the person is guiding you. You don't really have to know why or what's happening. Yeah. And so, yes, I came into that with like, I'm going to do the things. I'm not going to prepare the thing. I'm not going to try to think ahead. Because what I would have done, Tracy, is I would have had notes. I would have had notes and had a little list on my computer where I'd be pretending I wasn't reading, but I'd be reading. And of course, you would know that. So I was like, okay, I'm just gonna not do all that. I'm gonna not be the like A+ student and trust, which of course was cool because every time I did go for the A+ student in our homework, you would hear it in. You know, you would hear me in my head. Mm-hmm. You'd hear me not getting into my true sound. So then I realized literally every assignment where I was like, oh, I don't really care about this one, I'll just kind of riff. You'd be like, that was the sound. Yeah. And the ones where I'm like, oh, I should know how to teach this or say this. I should know this one well. You're like, that wasn't it. I got that feedback, you know, enough times that I felt like, okay, I can trust
that. Yeah. I think that's so important because I think what you were doing is what so many people in the world are doing is how can I orchestrate? What do I need to manipulate? What do I need to be to hold up this image that I want you to have of me? Because I think that's the one I'm supposed to have. Mm-hmm. And I think that just dovetails so perfectly with, I was there when you were called on repeatedly. It wasn't just once. It was multiple times at BBD Live. And I think you even said to me, yeah, I went in there going, I'm not saying anything. And every time you turned around, they're calling on you and you're just being real and we can connect with you. You're being authentic. And that's a radical departure from, I am controlling this freaking outcome. Give me the syllabus mm-hmm. because I've already got it figured out. And I laughed when you said that because I have a lot of people that show up on day one and I think they're a little irritated that I haven't sent out a booklet. And there is no booklet because I already know what you're going to do. You're going to be writing the outline for the thing that's due tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And if I let you do that, then I can't teach you to trust yourself.
That was the takeaway of Megan, you need to be prepared. Any conversation, like it can just be right around the corner, talking to somebody at, you know, an event like BBD Live. It's not going to be an official presentation. Like I have 2 days to present for it. It's going to be that conversation off the cuff. And that was what was so funny going into this event. I'm like, I'm going to go to BBD Live. I almost didn't go because I was in the dark night of the soul and I was in a low spot. Like, I'll just go, but I'll just be a fly on the wall. I'm not going to push myself to participate because I had been working on speaking up at the other events, making sure I raise my hand and practicing, right? Anything that made me uncomfortable. And this event, it's like, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to let myself be. And he calls on me twice, James.
I was thinking it was three times. I think it may have been. It
might have been, because then I also won something. It was like,
yeah, it was crazy.
It was such a lineup. It was so good for me because such a lineup of, okay, I'm here, even though I didn't plan on speaking, I was prepared. And then the thing that I just off the cuff said led to so much connection. At least 30 people from that we have connected directly over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you mentioned a takeaway, and I think where I want to go is maybe what are some of the other takeaways mm-hmm. that you've gotten? And let me just say, Megan has done my 12-week group coaching container, which is actually going to be the only one moving forward. Sometimes I roll in the shorter one but I'm not going to do that anymore. So this is the main program. This is the one she's in. Four people total, which is great. It's very hands-on. You cannot hide from me. You cannot run from me in there. You cannot. But talk about some of the takeaways that you have received.
One of the biggest takeaways was around asking permission. So in words, but then even just like in words and in our voice, like, you know, a little question mark at the end, like, would you like this? You know, that. But also I started to notice it just in the need and desire to explain myself. So when you would give homework, Tracy, it would be like, share something. I don't know, whatever it was. There'd be something we were supposed to speak on. And I remember doing whatever it was I spoke about and then thinking, well, this was a weird thing to choose. Or she said happy, but this actually kind of has a sad ending. So maybe I should explain myself. Like, I wanted to write a whole little novel about why I chose this, or, you know, why my hair isn't brushed, why I'm still in my jammies, whatever it was. It was like explaining, kind of pointing out flaws or pointing out what someone else may notice before they do. Mm-hmm. Probably the protective mechanism there. And so I started to hear the permission asking in myself and everyone I worked with. So the voice just saying, instead of saying, this is what we're going to do, you could hear the like, is this okay? And sometimes it actually came out in the words, is this okay? Is this okay? And that's one of the main things that you helped us change at our live event. So we just didn't finish up a 2-day live event. It's our third time doing it. And we really changed how we owned the transitions and how we started. And how we would transition from one section to another, to our signature talk, and then also transitioning into, you know, our offer of what we had, you know, how they could work more with us. And usually there's a sound of permission and also a question of permission in there. And we dropped all of them. And you could even hear the permission in my voice between me and my business partner. And so starting to realize that she's an MD, and she and I have openly talked about this because luckily we're in the transformation world, that I started to realize I have this, you know, like, well, she knows more than me. So I would have that come out in my voice when the two of us were there. And you really helped me realize, okay, cool, she's an MD, and there's certain things, of course, she's going to speak better too. And I need to own the things I know. And if I don't, I get to say, I don't know. Maybe Alex will tell about that. Or I don't know. Let's look that up later. And that was so freeing. Of course, I've heard this before, but there was this new level of being able to actually do it and have it be in the voice and embody it is all I can think of. Like, actually do it. And then my way of checking it is basically, did my body go into fight or flight? Like, I used to be able to do things, but I'd still kind of get like a full flush of like, after I did it, like, I did it, but now I'm really red kind of thing. And then with the practice, I would own it and feel really solid. And I know that that sound would be different. I also was noticing how fast I was speaking in our podcast when I listened back to couple of years ago. And now when I listen, I'm like, holy cow, I'm giving myself anxiety. And then, so speed, recognizing how much I had been told that it was important to go fast because you only have so many seconds on Instagram or TikTok to get your message out there. And I thought that was like, I'm doing air quotes, what you're supposed to do. I thought that was good. I was like, oh, great. I can keep talking and then I could share my things and it's going to be really smooth and I know exactly what to say. And so shifting that changed a lot. I also would start to notice where I would laugh in my podcast, especially with interviewing people, when it was a cover up of, oh, I'm really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I just said something maybe I didn't want to say. And then where I would laugh, then it was like a true laugh, because that was one of the cool things I discovered from you, is that my vocal superpower is laughter and joy. Or yeah,
fun. It's fun. So
I brought a lot more of that in, brought more jokes and humor and things in. And then I also took out the laughing in the places where it did not belong.
Yeah, you got real comfortable in the uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think that you were confident when you got here, but maybe there was another level of confidence, another level of connection and authenticity.
I think the confidence I had was a little more in the learned confidence of, I will do this thing even though I'm not comfortable. So I was doing it. Mm-hmm. I didn't yet actually feel good doing it. So that came from the voice.
The inner freedom is what I call it. And I think that's what I hear you saying. And the embodiment that you were talking about, that to me is the unearthing and rewriting. It can't be theory. And I think that's, I want to see what you would say to this, because this is a frustration of mine, not because of me. It doesn't frustrate me because of me. It frustrates me because I see how the subconscious works. And one of the things that I hear from a lot of people that are thinking about doing this work is, okay, I've got it. No problem. I know exactly what to do. And I know this is really in your wheelhouse of coaching. What do you think of that? What would you say to that?
Yeah, so we get this too. And if you use me as an example, I do this belief work for a living and have, you know, like 10 coaches in my life that are actively helping me. And I invest in myself quarterly to look for this stuff. And I had a whole layer of stuff I had no idea was there still. Mm. So I feel like that I can do this myself. It's my business partner and I, she's a doctor. So we're like, you wouldn't be your own surgeon and you wouldn't be your own coach, no matter how good you are. You just cannot see, you can't see the label from inside the bottle. So I think that I can do it myself usually turns into this protective, because I was hiding so much from myself too. So if someone is having this inkling or this nudge of this is for me, but then their brain is saying, but no, I could just work on my voice, or I could just do some exercises. I think you just don't really even know what levels are under there. I've found that, Tracy, throughout this process where we got to a certain point and I was like, okay, I got more than double my, you know, I don't know, I'm making up, I got more than my investment back.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And my brain was like, we're good. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do next week's assignment. And I was just hitting a new level of now uncomfortable. So it was like, my brain had said, yeah, that feels good. We got somewhere, and I knew I'd gotten so much out of it. But the leaning in a little bit further when you've already gone to a place that's uncomfortable, that my belief is you can't do that without a guide, without a container, because that's where we all stop.
Right.
When it gets a little bit, we're at our upper limit of our expansion of comfort zone.
Yeah.
So putting yourself into an actual container where you know on week 4, when your subconscious mind says, that's enough. Like, you do so much already, Megan. Like, you're good. That's where you know someone's going to come in and be like, all right, here's the next layer. So I just personally don't believe that kind of thing we can do ourselves when it's our own beliefs that we hide them. They're so hidden and you can hear them.
Yeah.
So then you can help them get through that next level.
Well, and I 100% agree. And I think it shortens the learning curve.
Oh,
if, you know, I don't even think, and I wonder, were there things that I announced to you that I heard that you went, oh, yeah, I can't believe that's in my voice. I can't believe you could hear that. but you 100% felt it. You were in agreement with it, but you didn't realize there was a sound, a leading sound that said whatever it was.
Right. So yes, meaning I knew it was there, but I was surprised you could hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Lots of things where I was like, oh, I thought I had that one hidden, Tracy. Because I thought I had it hidden from myself, really.
Yeah.
So the whole, you know, hearing that, I thought I worked on this, right? That you hear that a lot and like mm-hmm. you have and I had. And when you get to a new layer, though, and a new level, you're now being a leader on a different level. So mm-hmm. now there's just a whole bunch of deeper stuff. Like the higher it goes, then the lower you're digging into how deep that stuff goes of early on. So the feedback of having someone outside of you hear it, you just can't do that yourself, because you'll be able to just convince yourself that you're doing enough. Or at least that's how I am. I just know I'm like that. So I put myself in a place where when I get to that place where I'm not going to want to do it, I have somebody who's going to say, we're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, some people think or say or believe that they have to get to a certain point in their business before they can do this work. And I'm thinking about, but you've said a couple of things about our shared mentor, James Wedmore. And the truth is, he was very successful before he met Tracy Goodwin. You were successful before you met Tracy Goodwin. It's about really that next level. And he's also the one where the whole blindsided. Why I want to blindside people? Because I turned a corner and got in a conversation with him. And the next thing you know, he wants me to take his Visa card and look at what has come from that. There was no, oh, well, I got to think this through. I've got to practice. I've got to get ready. And so I hear from a lot of people, I've got to build the funnel. I've got to build the business. What do you say to that?
I've experienced firsthand now with the honesty journey of just sharing things, like actually just sharing. The more I've started to share my real life recently in the last few months on Instagram and on our podcast, we've had, you know, I've got a viral reel over 2 million, just an amount of expansion that I wasn't having before at all. We're kind of stuck in like 500 to 2000 views for a really long time. And since that event, since BBD, when I shared the honesty journey, it started, that was like 50,000 and then like 75, and then I have a 2 million. And each post I am sharing literally just honestly about my life. Of course, I bring it back to transformation because that's for what we do, but I'm not really using like a messaging tactic or a funnel. It's just, here's my life.
And that's brought you business, right? Is that what you're going to say?
And that has directly brought me one-on-one clients in our 7-day certification training, opportunities to speak on stages, opportunities to speak on podcasts. It's all leading to, you know, we do have a business. So I do have an offering, which of course I think, well, you could get, I mean, this applies to every area of life. So even without a business, using your voice is very important. Although once you have something, if you have something, a one-on-one program and anything, something with a button to take money, then I'd say voice and your beliefs are the most important thing to do next. We've watched people go through all sorts of specific funnel trainings or how you write emails or whatever it is. And if they aren't the person who has the capacity to even take on those kind of clients, they just don't come. Like they don't mm-hmm. they somehow never find the link, or magically your webinar shuts down in the middle, right? Like when you're not prepared from a voice level and from an identity level, they just don't show up. So I think mm-hmm. focusing, getting the very basics, like you have something to offer, and then the voice and the beliefs. That's really to me where all of it is, because I think we make things really complicated when most people just, they want to hear your journey so that they can come get support from where they are.
Yeah. And I think that's really what has happened here in your journey and what people hear. They hear where you've been. They hear you understand them. This is what I call the voice experience. They hear where you're going to get them. They hear what it's going to be like to spend a year with you, or 9 months with you, or 7 days with you. And they can go, yep, got to pick that one. That's mm-hmm. the one right there. Mm-hmm. Where when we're busy being who we think the world wants us to be, to keep the peace or whatever it is, they don't know who we are.
Right. And the explaining the details of, you know, the belief I had of you need to be smart. So like being book smart, or like understanding mm-hmm. the science behind what we taught and the brain chemistry and the why exactly this is that part. When I really got into that, because I felt like I need to prove myself, like I felt like I need to show I knew enough and that this is real. And, you know, I was an engineer before I got into this. And I think that plays into the idea of like, there needs to be hard data and it needs to be a certain way. But the more I came from that angle, I think the less people could hear me.
Yeah.
And the more I started to just tell my stories, like last summer, I guess it was over a year, or like a year and a half ago, I shared on our podcast, Becoming Zesty. It was a 12-part series of my personal journey. It is funny now because of the ending I came to there is now quite different. So I was like, oh, look, I'm at the end. And then a year and a half later, I was like, oh, that wasn't the end of that story with my husband. There was a lot more, which was cool because he came on our podcast and he and I had a super honest, radical honesty conversation on our podcast. And it's been so connecting for us. He came to our 2-day event here and he's like, I can't even believe what you're doing. He's hearing my voice differently. Like, and I was open to him being there because we've been so honest with each other. It just, I don't know, he didn't come before. It didn't even come into my mind. I'm sure it wasn't safe. And now he came, everyone's asking him questions because there are only a couple men in the room. And they're like, well, how do you get your partner on board for this transformation work? And it started to be collaborative. It's just been a really cool process of what that has opened up.
Yeah. And I think that Megan is talking about words and voice. And I do think, y'all hear me talk about voice the most, but I do think it's, all of it is together. It's a rubber band ball. And I do think, not that everybody has to go on a radical honesty journey, but you might find yourself in one. And while it may be one of those three levels of dark night of the soul, I can guarantee you it will 100% be worth it. Would you say the same, Megan?
Oh, for sure. They're so painful though, Tracy. I always know I'm going to come out. I mean, I first dark night of the soul, it's like that's when I shifted into functional medicine. And I know my kids would have a completely different life because I found that, you know, when my first daughter was born, I know their world would be so different if I hadn't found that, because I was just kind of following on the conventional, what everyone told me to do. And then I know the other one where I found kind of the subconscious programming rework, like that's completely changed how I speak to my children, how much I realize I'm installing for them just by what I say and my beliefs. So, you know, it'll be interesting because my older daughter didn't get, you know, I found it later in her life, where my younger had it from the beginning. So, but I just know for me, it's like the children then rippling out to then how they'll interact. Like they're going to have boundaries. I didn't have boundaries. So each void luckily has led to the most amazing next resource, which that is my thing though. I love to find the next thing and then integrate it. So that, although I don't want to call in, you know, one dark night of the soul after another, I will take what I learn and integrate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this has been such a great conversation. Anything else you want to add before we wrap it up about this process, this work, making the time for it, spending the money on it, anything you want to add that I didn't talk about?
Making the time for it is easy in my mind. One, because you're doing the work in Tracy's program and your program, Tracy, that you just maybe aren't taking the time to do outside anyway, right? So it's like, okay, I know I have my call on Monday, so I know we're going to do this. And it would, help me stop and be like, I have been meaning to really rethink, what is that intro story I say when everyone asks on the podcast, how did you get into this? And it's like those things that make a big impact usually go to the bottom of the checklist, at least for me. And I would always just say like, oh, it's just because it's not that important, or I know what to say enough. And I'd never really stop to think through, like in our signature talk I do, but on a podcast, I hadn't thought like, where do I want them to start? What do I want them to feel? And so now you're essentially having a time set aside to work on your business through your voice, which is going to directly impact, you know, how you show up. And I know, like, I wasn't posting on Instagram before I started your program, Tracy. I'd really gone down to maybe once a week. I just wasn't actually doing it. And I made a commitment to do it every day, you know, around the middle of the program. And that's when everything blew up. And that's when the posts went viral. And because I had started to be like, well, it's not working, meaning no one was seeing it, so why bother? Mm-hmm. But I wasn't sharing the things that were super honest. Like, I wasn't sharing the topics that people really want to hear. I was sharing safe topics. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, nobody does read those because they're like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Glad to hear, like, you know, another nice, kind quote. Like, it didn't mean anything. And when I started telling real stories that had a little bit of an edge, like I was nervous to post them, then all the response came in. So it's like, I know you weren't talking about like posting on Instagram per se, like it wasn't like an assignment or anything, but starting to think about my voice and what I would say or how I'm going to show up, I started to do it more. So it didn't really take away for time-wise, it didn't take away from my business at all. It just helped me focus on a bunch of things that keep going to the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
And then the group, we've bonded so much. And I know this happened. I'm sure this happens every group, but we cheer each other on. We watch each other's stuff. I feel like I feel that after the program, I could easily call on any of them because when you've gone through any container like that, where you go through the down and the up and you're together and it's hard for everyone and you learn and you're growing, those are the best long-term friendships.
Yeah. Ever.
And I think most people in the online world really only need a couple of those. And that for me has really changed business is when I have someone I can call and say, I don't know what to do next, or can you listen to this? It makes all the difference in the lonely online entrepreneur world of whether you then go hide for a week and don't do anything, or if you have someone going, hey, you said you were going to share your webinar. Where is it? Right. So groups, accountability. I mean, that's why we created a community. It's to me, it's everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here. This was just such a great conversation. Thank you for sharing your experience. And
thank you.
Listeners, actually, I hope this is... No, go ahead.
Tracy, I interviewed Tracy on our podcast.
Oh, that's right.
And I've gotten a lot of amazing feedback about that one. So it's something about voice with Tracy Goodwin. You can find it pretty easily on Becoming Zesty.
You know what? I'm going to link that to the show notes because I think then that way everybody has the link to your show, which is a great show. And it was such a fun, wonderful conversation. And I'm just so glad you joined me. I've just loved every minute of it. I was telling the group the other day, I just get in denial about the end. I just pretend like it's not really even happening, but I have to let people go and fly and see what they can do and utilize what they learned. So, well, thank you so much. It's just been such an honor. And thank you, listeners. It's been so great to have you with me as always. And that's it for today. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to Captivate the Room with Tracy Goodwin. You can reach out to her at captivatetheroom.com and be sure to grab the Voice Formula, a free video series that will help you start making a bigger impact with your voice today. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes.